I got a sponsor when I got clean. My first sponsor lasted a year with me, okay? He was the best thing could ever happen to me. He was funny, you know, he wanted to help people, you know, and after a while, I felt like I needed more. Not that there was anything wrong with him, but I needed more. And there was somebody who was moving to our area that was real involved in service and was had what I wanted. If you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it. Well, you know, I never forget, like, trying to ask him to be my sponsor. You know, for months, I'm using him as a sponsor. I'm talking to him all the time. I'm going out with him after meetings. I'm calling him. I'm this or that. And then finally, I said, look, you know, I don't know if you're able to do this, but you already are. So, you know, you're my sponsor. And he's been my sponsor ever since. You know, I don't believe in this. Like, I just heard recently about a sponsor being cyclical. And, you know, you go through the steps with them and you move on to another sponsor. And I'm thinking, Christ, you got no idea of the benefit of a long-term relationship where someone knows you and can say, whoa, wait a minute, Stuart. What about when you did that same thing 5 years ago? How'd it work for you? You know? So, anyhow, the next thing I was told was that, you know, a grateful addict will not use. And I was told, you know, don't tell me how fucking grateful you are. I don't want to hear it. If you're grateful, there are things that go with it, you know. When I went into that meeting, there was somebody there. They opened the door. They welcomed me, you know. And there is an obligation to all of us in this room. If you are clean today, you know, they say the addict with one day helping the newcomer come in the door. That's what this thing is. That's how this thing works, you know. And if I'm grateful for what I have today, then I'll show up. You know, I don't always have to say anything. I don't always have to do anything. I'll never forget. My memory is not real good. I have some issues in addition to getting old, which is a great side effect of recovery. You know, people go, wow, you're getting old. And I'm like, yeah, isn't it cool? I have chronic Lyme's disease. So I hurt a lot. I'm frustrated with my memory. And, you know, I stay clean a day at a time, and I continue to show up. You know, I came in here. I already told you I was so fucked up I didn't know I was in withdrawal. I was homeless. I didn't even know I was homeless. Before I got to my parents' house, you know, when I didn't have any place to stay, I didn't consider myself homeless. In my mind, homeless was the guy sleeping on the grate downtown with the cardboard over him, okay? And because I stayed at your house until you got sick of me and then I was able to move on to the next house, you know, I didn't feel like I was homeless, you know? I didn't have a bed. I didn't have a refrigerator. I didn't have food. I didn't have any of that stuff. And I didn't even know it. You know, you'll hear people tell you that it's not about the things here. It's not about what you can get here, okay? I'm going to tell you that I have a beautiful life with a beautiful wife. The bank owns my home, okay? We just remodeled our home in the past couple of years. We put a beautiful addition on. We have two dogs, two cats. We have more pets than you know what to do with. You know, we have two cars, two motorcycles, okay? And, okay, so it's not about the things, but you know what? There are things that I like, okay? And I work really hard. I go to work every single day. I work at night. I work several jobs. You know, I enjoy the things that I want. And it may not be about them, but they sure might make my life a little more pleasant. And don't let anybody tell you that it's not about having the things that you want, you know? I go on vacations. Vacation. We take a honeymoon every 5 years. We're looking on our third honeymoon coming up. You know, when we go on vacations, the first thing we do before we go away is look for the meetings. You know, I don't understand people that go on vacation and go away and don't go to meetings. You know, my disease never took a vacation without me. Okay? And I'm going to tell you some really cool stuff. You know, it's really cool to have a hookup before you get to a town. You know, our original honeymoon, we honeymooned in Arizona. We flew into Phoenix, picked up a motorcycle, and we took off for 10 days. And when we first got there, we went to a meeting, you know. And we went to this meeting, and we said to the people, hey, we're looking for some authentic Mexican food. Where could we get some? And they said, oh, you go to this place here, you know. And we said, no, because it sounded like a chain. I said, where would you go? Okay, because we want authentic. And next thing you know, they said, the Marylanders want Mexican, party at Los Compadres. And they all came to this place and took us out to eat. It was amazing. Now, that's not even the end of it. We go away, and we tell them part of what we're doing. And we travel. The only place we had to be in Arizona was at the north rim of the Grand Canyon, because you have to rent the cabin a year in advance. And we leave there, and we go down into Flagstaff, and we pull into Flagstaff, and we go to this meeting, and we look for the meeting. We're driving through town, and of course, you know, we're in a part of town, a shady part of town, and there's people standing outside smoking, so we're at the right place. We don't even have to check. And we pull up on the motorcycle, and these people outside look at us like, you know, we got six heads, and we get off the motorcycle, and they say, you must be the Marylanders. We've been waiting for you. They called ahead. I mean, where can you get this stuff anywhere else? Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you, for the newcomers, I'm going to tell you how you get this stuff. It's about why I go to meetings regularly. You know, my wife will have 25 years clean this year, and I've got 27. And when we started dating, there was only one thing we differed on. We enjoyed and agreed on everything except our opinions in recovery. And my wife would always say, well, you know, if you want to get clean, you gotta go to meetings, you gotta get a sponsor, you gotta pray, you know, a whole litany of things. Seven things, is it? Five things, I'm sorry. I promise I'm gonna pay attention better. And I would say the only thing you have to do is just not use. Just don't use, no matter what. Just don't use. People say, no, you got to do this, you got to work. No, just don't use. When the shit hits the fan, just don't use. If you just don't use, sooner or later, even you will get sick of yourself. The voice of experience. I'm not telling you anything. You know, in our original basic text, there was a line, and we all have something. When we get clean, we read, and something jumps out at you. Something grabs you. It's yours, whatever it is. For me, there was a line about the desperation of loneliness, and it was later removed. But the desperation of loneliness is what got me. You know, I would be in a group of people. It didn't matter how many people, and I was so alone and so desperate. And that desperation is what moved me to finally do things different, you know. That desperation is what moved me throughout. That desperation when I would just not use, just don't use no matter what. And I would be such an asshole that I would become desperate enough to be willing to hear what people were saying to me. You know, I can't stress it enough. You know, you know, there are periods in our recovery where we will go through things. You know, I had 13 years clean. I had built an amazing foundation around not using. Amazing foundation. And something came up in my life. And I share this all the time. There is one reason that I believe that people use, okay? And listen hard, because I really believe in this. People use because something becomes scarier than staying clean. So at 13 years clean, I was faced with that. And I had a situation that just, I just didn't know how I was going to deal with it. I couldn't even fathom how I was going to walk through this monstrous fear. And, you know, I wasn't going to use. So I thought about suicide. You know, the epitome of self-centered fear. I'd rather die than change. And I thank God that I had enough of a relationship with my sponsor and with the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous that I actually shared about it, you know. And through sharing about it, you know, I was able to walk through that fear, to come to the other side, to learn that, you know, it was minor in the first place. You know, it was really nothing, okay? Although in my mind it was huge. And thank God I had built a foundation that you just don't use no matter what. And I was later able to go into a meeting and share about it, because that's what keeps me clean. You know, because, you know, and I hear people say, you know, they say, oh, I took this to a meeting, I shared about it, and it got home before I did. You know, well, you know what, so what? You know, if I'm sharing about it, I'm done with it. You know, I finally got to the point where I'm willing to say, hey, here it is. You know, so anyhow, these are the reasons why I still go to meetings regularly. You know, the other reason is so that I can get my gifts from people every year. You know, I've been coming to this convention since the first one. You know, there are conventions that I love. You know, I go to Almost Heaven every year. I've been at that one since the first year also. Diametrically opposed. It's a tiny, intimate convention. This is a huge, monstrous event, you know. And yet, how cool is it? You know, when I first got clean, we had East Coast conventions, and they were really cool. They were all held at colleges. It was like $75 for the whole weekend. That was your food, your lodging, that was everything. And the big one, the biggest thing for me was the clean time countdown, okay? And back then, if you were a newcomer, you got killed. You got, like, they threw things at you, you know. This is how we welcome the newcomer. We bombard them with napkins and stuff. It kept me coming back because I wanted to be the one throwing them the next time. But anyhow, I've seen over the years where, especially here, people will be leaving before the end, before the clean time countdown. I mean, it is so powerful to watch and see the recovery in the room. You'll see people, I mean, in this convention alone, the amount of people with more than 20 years clean that raise their hand here is just amazing. A Saturday afternoon, a meeting here, and it's just cool as shit. You know, and tonight you'll see an amazing amount, okay? But I pay attention. And I pay attention to the areas where it's really small. Like, what happens between 5 and 10 years? Where do they go? You know, I still go to meetings regularly because I wanna understand, where do they go? I wanna try and help that not happen, and I wanted to make sure that it didn't happen to me. You know, my recovery is my responsibility. You know, and if I want more of it, I need to do what it takes. You know, yeah, the steps are important. All of this stuff is important. You know, the steps have allowed me to find out who I am and the man I want to be, you know, and to be able to become that man. Really cool stuff, you know. But most important is, you know, we don't use and we show up the next day. You know, most important is that the newcomer needs to see that there's somebody in that meeting when they walk in scared, you know, when they're standing around in the back of the room all by themselves and you know who they are. You know, and you don't even want to go up and talk to them for whatever reason. You know, sometimes they remind you too much of yourself. You know, and I remember when I got here. You know, I am grateful to the members that were here when I got here. You know, there are two people that I see in this room right now that were in the meetings when I got clean. And I shared this the other day. You know, I shared this with a guy. He's got 25 years clean, you know. And, you know, I'm not crazy about the guy a lot of times, you know. I love him, you know, and in spite of anything, man's got 25 years clean. I mean, come on. I don't give a shit what you're doing. You got 25 years clean, you deserve to be recognized, you know. And I believe that that is what's important. And the longer I stay clean, the more love I have for the people who were here before me and the more responsibility I have to show up for those that are coming behind me. And with that, I'm going to be done. I'm going to leave the meeting to Glenora, and thanks to the convention for having me share.
Thank you, Stuart. And now I'd like to introduce Glenora B. from the Philadelphia area.
I'm an addict, and my name is Glendora. That's all right, baby. I've been granola, grenadine, Griselda. That's all right. And I'm only clean today because of a loving God's grace and his oh so tender mercy. How y'all doing? Let's have some fun. Look, I'm stressed, man. We're going to do this. Why do I continue or still make meetings? I probably got it all mixed up, but y'all get the point. Whoosh. I came to Narcotics Anonymous in November of 1986. I came from 13 and a half years of active using. Most of y'all know me. Hello, how y'all doing again? I came from a battle zone. I was a good soldier for the disease of addiction. And I was a faithful member of the disease gang, you know. Something amazing out there, like we talk about why we continue to make meetings. Out there in the street, I made meetings too. It was the girls that met up to boost. That was a meeting. There was a crackhead society. I was a member and a meeting. There were quite a few meetings out there, and I attended regularly, and I was involved, and I gave 100%. Matter of fact, I gave blood, sweat, and a lot of tears. So when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, and when I got here, I had like 7 days clean, and I had come from detox, and it was back then, they had like 7 day detox, which I don't think they still have, but they throw you in this place, and they give you one box of vanilla wafers to share with 15 people, and I don't understand that one. That was not fair. So I got in here with 7 days clean. Y'all were supposed to recognize that this was a very important occasion, that you got Glendora in here. Y'all ain't say nothing. Y'all turned around and looked at me. I talk fast. Just keep up. I had 2 cups of coffee. It's Joyce Paul. Just keep up. I came in here and I looked around and you looked at me. And I looked back at you. I had a box here. Y'all remember Kid and Play? Some of y'all too young. But this had, he had a high top fade. Well, my fade was tilted. So like the Leaning Tower, my fade was fading. And I would lean in the back of a meeting when 8 days clean like this, so y'all wouldn't know that it was like crooked. Y'all knew I was crooked. My hair was crooked, my shoes was crooked, my attitude was crooked, I was straight up crooked. But what? And I came into this thing called a meeting, and all the women kept hugging the women, and the men kept hugging the men, and I had yet an active addiction embarked on having a gay relationship, so I was gonna charge all you women that held on a little too long a little extra, because y'all was just a little too happy. And I took your inventory because the thing about active addiction, I found that loneliness, fear, anger, rage were constant companions of mine. So when I came in here, my trust factor was totally null and void. I felt hopeless, useless, worthless. I was penniless. A lot of listlessness. And I watched you, Narcotics Anonymous, in this meeting thing. And I was waiting because I came from a religious background. So I was waiting for the minister, the rabbi, the imam, somebody to come out and start praying or preaching. And I was waiting because I had something for them. Because in my active addiction, I had slept with a couple of them. So my attitude was very closed-minded to them. And I stood around and I waited for you to touch me inappropriately. And I waited for you men to say something really nasty because I was used to that. Wasn't used to nice comments like, you look very nice today. You look happy. Are you okay? Those were not the comments you came in from the street with. And you didn't do it. And I said, I think I'm going to stay a little longer. They gave me a free cup of coffee, so I'm going to stay 10 more minutes. And I'm in a meeting, and the guy that had, and I thank God for Bill Devil, Bill D. He was the one who checked me into detox, and he came into this meeting. He said, oh, you finally made it. Like, man, go sit down. Psh, damn, crooked shoes. You know, I still had attitude. And he said, come on with me. I'm like, oh, he liked me. I can only pad it one way. It was like going that way. So I'm like, no, you come back here. Come back here. We can talk back here. President and the vice president of NA up there. You don't want to go up there. Mm-mm. He said, no, come up here and sit on the front row. I said, I heard the girl in the back say that's called ICU, intensive care unit. That's what really sick people. He said, yeah, come on up here and sit down. And the funniest thing and amazing thing is ICU is just where I need and where I continue to be. So I got in here. Now, here we go. Y'all, come on, keep up. I'm hyped up. I'm amped up. I'm nervous. And I always want to stay nervous because I never want to think I got this podium thing. Because I think when you think you got this, that's when you hit walls. So if I'm nervous, it's cool. It's kind of like we're in my front room. My cat's over there. Let's go. So now, I started making meetings, and I got a full, oh my gosh, a full perm. You can see my roots. Alex Haley had not seen my roots in a long time. I saw my roots. I got some press-on nails. They popped off, and y'all put them back on. I got a Mrs. T starter kit. It turned my neck green. Our predecessor showed me how to do clean it off. It was so nice. I went from Whores or Us to like nice stores, and it was so nice. Y'all allowed me in a meeting my process. Y'all might have laughed at me as I went up to the table because y'all saw my spiritual awakening. Y'all saw something. But y'all, instead of laughing at me and criticizing me and judging me, in a meeting, you would get up right behind me and show me by example what it would look like if I dressed like you. And it wasn't saying the way you dress was probably going to be perfect for my body size, but you didn't laugh at me. I got a judge and a jury up here. It's a SHIT committee. And I didn't need the committee and you talking about me because I can do that by myself. So I was standing around, let me tell you, and I'm making meetings, y'all. I got a full perm on Discover Weave. Thank you, God. I learned that Victoria was no longer a secret. I started filling my own breasts. Yeah, damn. All in a meeting. I started wanting what you had to offer, and I was willing to make the effort to get it. And a lot of days, that didn't mean spiritual guidance either. So I kept coming. Oh, did I keep coming? And I kept coming, and I started staring. And I wanted this thing in the marrow of my bone, but all I knew was what I knew. And that's why I kept coming back to meetings. Can you tell me how not to use the money that's talking to me on something frivolous and making no sense? Can you tell me how to let go of somebody who has told me through action, deeds, and words they don't want me? Can you show me how to roll over in a cold bed when you got somebody and live through that moment and not crush? So I made meetings. Yeah, I was coming up in the air. Yeah, y'all sometimes laughed at me because I started going through the men like Kleenexes because I was trying to find a void filler. I was trying to find something to make this emptiness go away. I thought a penis would work. I'm sorry. Big ones, little ones, ones to the right, ones to the left, miniature ones. I tried them all, but it didn't work. It's a spiritual awakening. I needed you to show me. And it was only here. And if I'm too loud, tone it down. Keep it going, though. I'm in here. And I'm feeling y'all. Y'all NA peoples. Y'all sitting there reading that literature. Ooh, that's cool. I'm mimicking you. Don't tell me that people don't watch you. You never know who watches you. I watched you. I imitated you. Imitation is the most sincerest form of flattery. You made that meeting. I followed you. You said it was a good speaker. I went in there. So be careful what you say about the speakers. Newcomers are listening. And I sat behind you. And when you crossed your legs, I crossed my legs. When you got up here and you got them keychains, I thought NA was playing a joke on us. Why you give me a keychain? I ain't got no key. But I understood and I learned something about the keychains. As I got time clean, I understood what they meant to me. You can't see, but on that keychain is my key to freedom. When I choose to let it go back out and use, sleep with somebody who's not worthy of me, I give up the key. You may can't see with the naked eye that key, but I know when it's been removed. The behaviors, baby, the behaviors are there. I hold in my hand many keychains because I've worked for them. And every time I say no to something that calls my flesh, every time I want to lock into greed, every time I want to lock into self-centeredness, I lose my key. So next time you hold your keychain, hold it tight. You have the key to freedom. Now don't give it up. So I'm making memes. I got my keychain. I made earrings out of my belt. It was so nice. And I'm in a meeting, and I become a part of a meeting. This is why I keep coming. I felt accepted. Oh, my God, y'all were so special to me. I would run home from work just to get to this meeting thing. I didn't understand it. The language was foreign to me. But I knew when I was stepping in them doors, it was like magic dust. Not the kind of dust, bad dust, but the magic dust hit me. And whatever hurt me before I got here in these magic walls was going to be all right. I may can't raise my hand and tell you my truths because I have yet learned how to remove the mask, but as God said, he will always pick an angel in the crowd that will raise their hand and share your crap. Be like, what? I think I should try that. So I'm making meetings, and I finally got a home group. I'm involved in the service. I got a chair, and I set my butt in. I'm a chair person. I love it. So I'm like there, and I'm seeing how they put the literature out, and I'm feeling a part of it because they actually waited for me. You know, they actually waited for me one night after a meeting. Me, the girl who felt hopeless, useless, I felt like I was scarred, and like you could see the scars all over me, the damage I had done to myself. But you home group members, it was one guy. He had the glow-in-the-dark keychain. Wow. That was amazing. He said it lit up so I didn't have to, or whatever. Okay. And one night, because my thing was always run, you know, as we do the little circle at the end, I'm in a meeting, I made it to the end, that's enough, I'm out of here. He said, no, he said, why do you always run and leave? He said, this becomes the next part. Learn how to socialize again. He said, when do you remember in the streets you learn how to socialize? He said, do you think sitting in the alleyway drinking out of that bottle with socialization skills? I'm like, well, depending on how you look at it. He said, tricking them women with the men out there in the streets, do you feel that was good socialization skills? Again, my thoughts were still warped. I'm like, how much money did I make? And then we'll discuss whether we socialize. And he said, no. He said, no. In this meeting, we're going to learn how to interact with each other without killing each other. We're going to learn how to understand that everybody ain't recovered. We all recovering. He said, come on out to the diner with me. I'm like, oh, man, I have plans. I had no plans. I had pride, false pride. And I didn't want him to know I didn't have very much money because money still had lips in that beginning, still talked to me, and it was always about the drug. You know, my disease, the most obvious symptom is the drug, but my disease is so cunning. Videos, shopping, shoes, pocketbooks. I get off on anything, you know, orgasmic things. Wow, I love it. So, right, he said, let's go to the diner. So I said, okay, if you insist. And newcomers, this is for you. So I went to the diner, and they all sat around this table like this. And these guys were ordering food. And I only had a little bit of money, so I'm the kind of person that I would rather die before let you embarrass me. So when she came to me, the waitress said, what will you have? Now, I've always been a big girl. And will probably maintain the right. But when she got to me, I said, I think I shall have, yes, a tea and a salad. My stomach said, a tea and a salad to a big girl is like a tic-tac to a whale. What? What? That better be on the button with all that salad stuff. So, but I was playing the game. We played a part. Put the mask on. The man with the glow-in-the-dark keychain said, look, waitress, order that girl a cheeseburger. I'm like, well, if you insist. So they talking and they flowing, and this is all a meeting. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is why I continue to make it, for the love. For the love of life. They're talking that innate language. I don't understand all the words, but I kind of chimed in when it was necessary with God, surrender, powerful, powerless, somebody, keep it on. You know, I didn't know what I was saying. It was a lag in the conversation. I threw in the innate word I heard in the meeting. Self-powered. No, God. So they kept including me like I really mattered to them. Like I really was of worth. Nobody's hand was between my legs. Do you understand to come from that background? To sit here with men and women at a table eating, not having much money, and they care enough to order for you. I ain't got much conversation, but when they put the cheeseburger in front of me, and everybody started eating, that spiritual void I told you I had started filling with penises, the spiritual void, the emptiness, I felt a part of a group. I understood why I would come back the next day. I like those people with the glow-in-the-dark stuff. I like that cheeseburger, Rima, better. And when I bit that cheeseburger, what it said to me was that I was accepted, I was respected, I was a part of, I was unique. The fact that I didn't kill them all really quickly, that they trusted me because they put their pocketbooks down by my feet, and a lot of other stuff. All in a moment. Do you understand how important a meeting is? In a moment. All that in one little newcomer's heart. So I bit the cheeseburger, and I came up. I stopped making meetings for 30 days. I've been going around. I don't go to a drug dealer's house. I don't buy drugs from nobody. I got tattoo on my leg. I got tattoo on my thigh. I'm bothering nobody. I ain't gonna have sex with nobody. Please keep coming back to me. And I'm like, God! The guy's like, damn, girl! I didn't know you had all that in you. I said, buy me some dessert. I'll tell you some more! Woo! Connection in a rock, yeah. What? So it goes on, and life, years passed, and I was involved in service. Let me tell you something. I started a home group years ago, my first one, minor altercation. We ain't gonna get into it, it got too deep. I moved on to the home group I've been a part of now. I've been a member of this home group for 22, going on 23 years. Some people said you need to stop, move on to the new home group. I'm the one from this school. If it works for me and I'm still clean and I'm making meetings, I'm visible, I'm available, I'm in service, leave me alone. Yes. It works for me. Each of us recovers differently. What flows, you flow. You can change your home groups. Do what your thing. I just know why I need to make meetings. Me. So, Ray, I was listening to the gentleman speak earlier before me, and I'm saying to myself, you know, God, it's that one thing he talked about that make you start questioning, like, with years clean, is this the moment that I was afraid of that would make me think about going back out there? And I had that moment 3 years ago. 3 years ago. My mother, I talk about this all the time. Y'all tired of hearing it. But I'm sorry. That's what meetings taught me. I gotta stop worrying about what you think about what I say. I have a right to share my hope and my joy, my fears, my sorrows, all that there in an atmosphere that's conducive to like spiritual growth, which means not every day am I going to share God is good. Not every day am I going to be happy, joyous, and free. Not every day, but I understand this in a meeting context. That when I share the pain and the sorrow and the sadness, hit it off for the newcomer with some hope. No matter what I'm feeling right now, newcomer, I don't use. That's the hit. So mom is wandering around Philly with Alzheimer, and I'm hit with the fear. I told you fear was my constant companion. Do you know they call Alzheimer the long goodbye? My home group. Let me tell you about Mount Airy group. I can say it. We meet on Tuesday and Thursday nights. I'm a member. Not because I just say I am, because I'm involved in it. Oh my God, when they read the history, I'm in it. Oh, that's so weird. God, I feel like Ben Franklin. But I was really, I learned, let me tell you, I want to give you some pump, pump, pump stuff. With the home group, what I learned about, I met my husband there. I heard him share there. I married him, not in there, but I married him and they were invited there. I divorced him there. I met many other future ex-husbands. No, I'm kidding. No, but in a home group, I learned, I told you earlier about socialization. I learned about being alone and not reaching out and how you could be in your home group and not intermingle with people and isolate from them and feel the loneliness. I learned in a home group for me, as far as making meetings, I need to feel comfortable in there. If I feel like my home is being threatened, I need to say something. There was somebody who was coming into our home group selling dope. That's my home. That's like you coming into my home. And I'm sorry, it's the way you do it that handle it. It's the way you do it. So in a nice, kind way, I ushered him out of my home. And I said, may I speak to you kindly, sir? And yes, maybe go over here, my sir, away from the meeting. Just in case, I'm going to need to call 911. So, and I talked to him. In those four walls, it's where I learned to be a friend. Where I learned that laying on my back and my legs in a V position would not get the love of my heart. It's in them walls. I learned how to be responsible. I learned how to be trusted by the group that gave me money to get this coffee and stuff. And I actually came back with a receipt. So when you come in and you're selling death in my home, in a place where I've got to, like, some days can't even talk, just get in there and absorb the touches and the feelings. When you come in there dealing death, you're in a sense throwing it in my face. And I don't know about all the rest of them. I'm not asking the other home group members or members to say anything. I'm not trying to fight you. But what I'm saying is, respect my right to live. Respect my home. And he went down the street with it. And I'm like, cool. All right, don't come back. I talked to him when he was down the street. I said, no, don't come back no more. But I understood, oh God, what meetings do for me. They make me address issues I don't want to deal with. Oh, have you ever done that? Been in a meeting jammed up? And wouldn't it be the topic for you tonight? The topic is about you, and you didn't even know you was a speaker. When I make meetings, I learn about, like, being patient. You ever had to do that? Oh, my God, Sally Jo Sharon for 52 minutes. They don't ring the bell 17 times. Ding! You're over it. Ding! You learn patience. In a meeting, you learn about tolerance. John, the first time he's opened up a book in God knows how many years, he's learning how to read, and you take the time to help teach him, and you're tolerating, and you're working with, and you're actually like, and you're so funny when I see y'all do that. The pain. We're all, like, trying to teach him how to read. I love it. You can only get that here. In the meetings, we all become parents of our newcomers who just got their babies back, and they're trying to get a message of hope. In a meeting, we learn how to help her get that moment of quiet by taking our baby and nurturing that baby as if it were our own in a meeting. In a meeting, I'm able to learn about the new things that I don't want to do. Learn about new drugs that I don't want to do. The newcomers are a source of information. The predecessors, who they keep reminding me about, is to stay vigilant and visible. Y'all need to see us over the last 20 years. Y'all need to know we're still here. Y'all need to know that I still suffer on some days with the crazies. Y'all need to know, even though my home group has been my home group for 22 plus years, every time they fly me off to speak somewhere, I make sure that I let my home group know where I'm going. And the reason why I do that, and I'm going to talk it slow, I never want to take this as all there is of me. Do you understand what I'm saying? They call me a circuit speaker, and at first I was offended by the title. My home group never called me that. The meetings never called me that. It was certain people, and that's cool. It flows. And I got mad at them because I'm like, why y'all making it such a negative thing when I thought we care and share the DNA way? We give it away, you know? We don't try to keep it, we give it away. And some of us just flow the way we flow, you know? And it's just like, you know, don't hate. Don't hate. Appreciate. You know, so. But I learned on a deeper level that, yeah, maybe I might be that circuit that you need to plug into on them days when you ain't got nothing to say and Glenn's going to spit it out. Maybe you need to plug into me because maybe your mom is struggling right now, messing on herself and peeing on herself, and you don't want to tell nobody because embarrassment, shame, and guilt, because you haven't been there for her, you're not able to say it, but I'm telling you where I'm at. That's what I learned in a meeting. So when I go speak and I fly off, I let the Mount Airy group know, look, we out of here again, y'all. And they love me enough, just make it back, because my plane is caught on fire. I've run through the cornfields on fire. I've been through a lot for NA and speaking. And my home group, no. I told you I got married there and divorced there. I speak and I fly everywhere there. It's in a meeting that I am who I am. Don't get caught up with this. Because when all that clapping stops, when all them CDs and signing it, people calling you, and then all of a sudden want to speak and be around you when they're at a convention, all of a sudden at your home group, they don't know you. Because all of a sudden now you're famous in an anonymous program. It's amazing. I'm just me. Joyce, Audrey, you know I'm just me. Brian, I can't be nothing else other than who I am. Neef, I've always flown the way I flow. Look, my mom is struggling. I made a meeting. My mom doodled on herself. I made a meeting. My mom threw up and she lost like about 80 pounds. I made a meeting. They found my sister dead in the house. 5 days of her own blood. I made a meeting. You know, men have slept with me and put my name on their wall as a notch in their belt to say they slept with Glendora B. I made a meeting. Narcotics Anonymous. I feel like Adam Lambert some days. What do you want from me? I'm going to keep showing up. I know that. I'm going to keep showing up. I'm not going to use, and I'm going to make these. Thanks for me to say I'm done.